And mine doesn't do it, but mine was doing it as I was reading that passage. And mine doesn't just randomly do that. But today, you know, we have a birthday in the house. And it's Basima. So let's, happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Basima. Happy birthday to you.
Amen. Are you sufficiently embarrassed? Yeah. All right, I would just encourage you to not forget our loved ones who are not here today that have been experiencing ongoing health issues. Bernice, Annie, and of course, when Annie doesn't come, Ricky doesn't come. And others, you know, it's so easy with life to not remember that other people have needs. We can get so focused on the things that we have to deal with, but yet there are those that are homebound and discouraged and so forth, and that's why they're not here today. So we will have a short break after service to use the facilities and to grab a cup of coffee, and then we'll reconvene for the annual business meeting, so please consider sticking around for that, if you would. I'm happy that you're all here today. Are you happy that you're here?
Amen.
Amen. Well, let's, if you have your Bible, you can open it to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 7. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I don't regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. If in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by that same standard to which we have attained. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Just so appreciate the word of life, the word of God. I just want to say I had a somewhat frustrating day yesterday. Is that okay to admit that? Not because my grandkids were over, but that was one of the factors. And I enjoy having them, but, you know, sometimes the visit gets prolonged. And everyone knows I dedicate my Saturday to sitting before the Lord and until I get the word. And so I just had to, you know, cry out to God and say, you know, I can't hear from you if I'm in this state of mind. And, you know, my testimony, my story is God's grace is sufficient. And he met me, and I possibly did the message in record time, although it's more lengthy than I had thought. And so I just want to use that as an illustration for you. You know, sometimes, I think all the time, we want things to go our way. And when they don't, the flesh rises up. And we have to remember to return to our first love and let him minister to us. And so as I was sitting, finally, midday, meditating on this passage, which in the NAS, the caption is "The Goal of Life," an old hymn began to ring in my spirit. "I surrender all." Ooh. "I surrender all." And the scripture that's in the hymnal was Mark 10:28, Peter speaking, "Behold, we have left everything and followed you," speaking to Jesus. And so that old hymn, it's just so powerful. "I surrender all to him, I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live." And it goes on. I don't have to read all of the verses, but, you know, that's what we need to do when life isn't going like we want it to. We have to surrender, not to life circumstances, but to him who knows every fiber of our being and who knows what we're going through. And so I walked downstairs after I heard that hymn, and what was on YouTube was the song by Hillsong Worship, "New Wine." Not a coincidence. Which begins, "In the crushing and in the pressing, you are making new wine. In the soil I now surrender, you are breaking new ground. So I will yield to you and to your careful hand. When I trust you, I don't need to understand." Very beautiful song about making the Lord, allowing the Lord to make a vessel, make you a vessel that he can flow through in spite of your problems, in spite of your inadequacies. And he's wanting to make you to make the most out of your circumstances. And I read something, I think I was going to use it in my sermon, but I think the Lord wants me to read it now if I have it. Never be a prisoner of your past. It was just a lesson, not a life sentence. And I read that early this morning online under the site Kitchen Fun with My Three Sons. If you don't have that on your Facebook account, it has some very humorous but yet profound statements like this one. So he's making new wine in this season, and it doesn't come without crushing and pressing and pressure. But if you know that he's in control, you don't have to understand. You just have to know that he's in charge, and he's going to always work all things together for your good. Romans 8:28. So I've entitled this morning's message, Staying Strong in Every Season. And how can we stay strong when it seems like life is overwhelming? Well, we stay in relationship with him first and foremost, but then right here. The body is there for relationship. It's there for mutual support and encouragement. You know, you will probably notice that those of you who are married, when your spouse is down, you're up. You're never down at the same time, or rarely, I should say. And so that's the same case here. We all have our own challenges, but yet we also have the Word of God and the Spirit of God to encourage one another. So stay connected to him and stay connected to one another. Point one of staying strong is for the sake of Christ, or for Christ's sake, not as a swear word, but as a declaration. Verse 7 and 16. And so Paul is speaking here previous in the verses preceding verse 7 about his qualifications. For whatever things he's saying is before he encountered Jesus Christ. Whatever his life looked like before Jesus Christ. Before he experienced his love and his presence, his goodness and his faithfulness. And so Paul listed his worldly credentials in verses 5 and 6. I don't need those up on the overhead, but now everything has changed. When you meet the Lord, when he does an intervention, if you will, in your life, what was before and what now is two different things. And so this is what Paul is communicating here. Now everything is for Christ Jesus, for Christ's sake, after his encounter on the Damascus Road. Everything that he thought mattered doesn't matter anymore. Now he knows what's important. And he lives for what's important, for Christ, for Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 4:7 to 11 talks about us having treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. And Paul is talking about the process of crucifying the flesh, dying to self and living for him. So, for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. You see, we have a choice when there's a test or a trial or when the pressure is on. We can submit and go through that for Christ's sake, or we can kick and scream and complain and moan and groan. And when we do that, we don't have any resurrection life that's evident. You see, the world sees that and said, oh, that's how I behave. How are you different? Because that's what I do when things don't go my way. But we need the life of Jesus to be manifested in our life. Verse 16 there in Philippians 3, let us keep on living. And interestingly, the margin note in my Bible says following in line. Keep on living for Christ, in other words, for Christ's sake. Living the Christian life, demonstrating the life of Jesus. Let us keep on living by that same standard to which we have attained. Living for Jesus, following Jesus, being a disciple or a Christ follower. So we need to examine everything we do and say and evaluate if this glorifies him. Does it exemplify Christ? Is it serving or demonstrating Christ to others? Philippians 2, 5 to 7. Have this attitude, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. You see, Jesus had a choice, and we always have a choice. He had a choice to hold on to his divine nature and not undergo those things, the ridicule, the rejection, and ultimately death. He could have said, no, I'm God. But he emptied himself and took on the form of a bondservant. And if you study what that meant, it means there comes a point in a slave's life or a servant's life in that culture where he's served, he's paid his debt, or his service has ended, but he willingly says, no, I love my master, and I don't want to leave. I want to remain as his servant. And actually, it's quite graphic, because what the master does, some of you who know carpentry tools, there's a little tool called an awl, A-W-L. It's a pointed thing, like if you want to make a pilot hole for a screw or a nail so that the wood doesn't split, you tap that awl and make a hole. And so the master would take an awl and he would go through his earlobe onto the door frame, signifying that he accepted the servant's love and dedication. And so that's what a bond servant is. Are you a bond servant? Huh? Would the Lord say, address you as his bondservant, as his son? Or do you still have a slave mentality? Like I just read, it's a lesson, not a life sentence. Whatever we go through, it's a lesson to help us grow and to help us mature in the faith. Also read this morning from our brother, dear brother Fount. He has a daily post. And he said this: a disciple is one who allows truth to determine his daily life. It's part of what was in his post. Biblical faith automatically expresses itself in action. And so, are we disciples? Are we really Christ followers? Are we demonstrating, not with mouth, but with a lifestyle, that we truly are his disciples? Secondly, staying strong in every season to know Christ. Verses 8 and 10. Paul says, verse 8, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus. Categorically, all things. And he actually had a list of quite impressive credentials for his culture. Pharisee of Pharisees. He studied under the top teacher of his day. And so, as far as the world goes, he had the credentials, which is why the Sanhedrin released him to go after Christians and throw them in jail and punish them prior to his encounter with Jesus. So knowing Christ, Philippians 2, verse 3, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. And this is how the Lord phrased it for us yesterday. The way you treat and value others will show if you really know Jesus. Ooh. If you really know who he is and what he's done and does for you. The way you treat and value others. It speaks not of a head knowledge, but of a heart knowledge. You really understand what Jesus did for you, not just for mankind in a universal or generic sense when he died on the cross, but what he did for you, how much he loved you, and his continuing faithfulness, as we sang this morning in that communion song. His promise still stands. Great is his faithfulness. Knowing Christ. John 17:3. And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus whom thou hast sent. And the passion really reads well here. John 17:3. Eternal life means to know and experience you, the only true God, and to know and experience Jesus Christ as the Son whom thou hast sent. And moving on to verse 10 in Philippians 3, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, plural. Not just his suffering, but all that he suffered. That you will know that too. And so it's a package deal, my friends. You have all the benefits, but when things don't go your way, when there's a testing or a suffering or a trial, you have to endure it for him. Show your dedication and your love for him during those times. Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. Powerful scripture, powerful truth there. He loved you, he loved me, and he delivered himself up for you and for me. So we need a deeper revelation of Jesus and the cross and what he's done and his continuing work and the resurrection life that he offers to us also. We need to know him more deeply and share his love on a daily basis in our everyday encounters and experiences. You know, it's amazing how people respond when you smile. I was in Market Basket yesterday, and the clerk would not even look at me. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, they're supposed to say, "Hi, how you doing?" They are supposed to greet you. And this girl, she wouldn't even look at me. Just handed me the receipt and then went to the next customer. But you know, when those type of situations present themselves, you know, the temptation is in the flesh to say, Come on, you know that's true. You know that's what the flesh wants to do. But instead, you know, if you stay there until that, in her case, until she looked at me, and I smiled at her and said, whatever the Holy Spirit told me to say, that would have changed her day. You understand? That's life. That's resurrection life flowing from you to someone else. And the love of God flowing from you to someone else. And this is how we need to approach life. To stay strong in every season. Number 3, faith in Christ. Verse 9. That I may be found in him, Paul says. Having and knowing your identity, who you are in Christ, through faith in Christ, demonstrating his righteousness to others in word and deeds. That I may be found in him and have the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. I mean, honestly, what do you and I have to offer if we can't offer him? If we can't offer them a permanent solution to their trouble, then we're no different than anybody else. Faith in Christ. The proof of your faith, 1 Peter 1:7-9. The proof of your faith being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you did not see him now, you believe in him and greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining as the outcome of your faith the salvation of your soul. You know, sometimes we need to make grand gestures. Have you read some of these stories where people leave like a $100 tip at the restaurant? I mean, you may think maybe they can't even afford to leave that $100 tip. Have you ever thought of that? I mean, the tendency is to think, oh, they're rich, they're not gonna know, it's not gonna impact them. Well, how do you know that? And if we are walking in such a way with Holy Spirit, and he says, give that person a $100 tip, when really you only owe 20%, it's $5, or even $10. But the Holy Spirit says, no, I want you to give that person a $100 tip. Would you do it? This is where the rubber meets the road, my friends. Because I would do it, because I know that if I did, God's not even, and this isn't my motivation, but he will not only replace that $100, he will bless me even more for my obedience. It's not about the money. It's about, will you do what he asks you to do? Will you listen to that voice of the Holy Spirit? Faith in Christ. A couple more scriptures. I'm not going to have you put them up for time's sake today. Galatians 3:23-26 talks. It says about us being sons of God through faith in Christ. Ephesians 3:16-19, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you may be filled to all the fullness of God. I mean, do you just want a little drink? Do you just want a little drink of living water? I don't. And that's not being greedy. That's just taking what he offers. Taking what he offers. Here's a quote from Swindoll's Book of Illustrations and Quotes. Your faith ought to get you in trouble at times. If everybody thinks you're nuts, you may be. It's okay. If some think you are, it's okay. But you're probably in trouble if no one thinks you are. I mean, it's funny, but isn't it true, though? Isn't it, like, bold truth? People, you know, if we're rising to the challenge that God puts before us, not everyone is going to understand. You're going to get the look. How long has it been since you have gotten the look? Because you did something outrageous that God was asking you to do. I mean, seriously, how long has it been? I'm not bringing condemnation, I'm just challenging you. How long has it been since you did something crazy in obedience? Not because you're trying to be cute. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So we need to have faith. We need to live by faith, grow in faith, and have our faith tested. And most importantly, we have to ask for more faith. Ask for more faith. Don't be ashamed or, you know, feel like a beggar. Because whatever faith you have comes from Him. It's not from you. It's from Him. Am I preaching too long? All right, I'll try to wrap it up. Number four, lay hold of or hold on to Christ. Verse 12, lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Paul says it this way to Timothy, 1 Timothy 6:12. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called, and you made a good confession in the presence of many. 1 Timothy 6:18 and 19. Take hold of that which is life indeed, it says in that verse, those two verses. That word there for lay hold of means to apprehend or seize. It's talking about, you know, really grasping and doing something with the calling on your life. The reason that you got rescued from being you. That's what it's talking about, if I were to paraphrase that. 1 Corinthians 9:24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. And you may not have ever known this, but that word win means to lay hold of. It's the same word that Paul is using when he says to lay hold of that which I was laid hold of by Christ. Lay hold of the prize. That's what it means to win. There's only one winner in the race. Only one gets the wreath or the trophy or the ribbon. But you have to lay hold of it. You have to want it. You have to discipline yourself so that you can win the race that God has set before you. Not somebody else's race. Your individual race. Need to lay hold of Jesus and hold on as if your life depended upon it, because it does. It does. And as I was meditating on this, laying hold of Christ and His purpose for my life, there was a song way back in 1978 when the Lord rescued me. Any of you remember Dallas Holm? Those are who you've been around for a while, H-O-L-M. You know, he had a song called Come Unto Jesus. And the lyrics are, come unto Jesus, give Him your life today. Come in unto Jesus, let Him have His way. Do we let Him have His way? Is it a one-time deal that you offered Him your life at salvation and now you can do whatever you please? You don't consult Him? Oops. Lay hold of and hold on to Christ. Stay strong in Christ in every season. And number five, pursue the call of Christ. It's not enough to know that you have a call. Every believer has a call. But what do we do with it? Is God going to just make it all happen? And if we just press that cosmic vending machine, it's just going to fall into place? No, it's a partnership. It's a partner deal where we have to pursue what He reveals. Reaching forward. Verse 13 and 14, reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus. That word is reaching forward or stretching or extending. In other words, reaching for your future by faith. That's what faith does. It's you're in your present circumstances, but by faith you see, you apprehend, you seize that which God speaks into your spirit. And you say, yes, Lord, whatever it takes, I will follow you, I will serve you. Pursuing the call. Only remaining tied or bound to your past can prevent you from reaching forward by faith into your future in Christ. Press on or pursue with dogged determination that which Jesus has promised and provided for us. Press on toward the goal. The sense of that word I found is the sense of a watchman fixing his eyes on a mark, on a point, and not deviating from that. And that's what it's talking about, pursuing that call, getting serious, not just waiting and expecting that God will make it happen, but doing something yourself in response to the prompting of Holy Spirit. Your calling, 2 Timothy 1:9, you're called with a holy calling. Hebrews 3:1, partakers of a heavenly calling. 2 Peter 1:10, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. I would say you can never go wrong following Jesus, following the call he's placed upon your life. So we need to prioritize pursuing the calling. Be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Ephesians 6:10. Stay strong, stay connected, stay humble, stay strong in every season in your life for his glory. Amen. You know, there's always going to be a new challenge. If you think you're going to just coast, huh? Oh, yeah. This is life. No, it's not. He never said you were going to coast. He promised challenges. He promised hardship, but he also promised, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. So stay strong. Stay strong. Stay close to him, and you will succeed. You will prosper in this life for his glory. Amen. Thank you. Thank you all for listening. If you have particular prayers, the altar team will certainly minister to you at this time. For the rest of you, we'll take a quick break downstairs or in the bathroom, and we'll give you the heads up when we're going to reconvene. God bless you.